So here with me this morning to tell us about this new and troubling internet game is Dr. Joan Dolanac. She's assistant professor of surgery specializing in trauma, critical care, and burns at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Dolanac. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for the invite.
So what is this salt and ice game, and it's considered a challenge somehow? I know it's on the internet everywhere.
Well, that's how I found out about it as well. I looked it up. There are some YouTube videos out there where it shows people, you know, putting ice and putting salt on their skin and then putting an ice cube on top of it. And as the ice cube melts, it becomes, you know, obviously very kind of painful, has this burning sensation. And the challenge is to see how long you can last with the pain.
And so it's basically, it's almost like self-inflicted pain.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Similar to maybe even just cutting yourself with a knife or something of that nature.
It seems a little bit less benign since there's no blood, but yeah.
Wow. And so this is a fairly recent phenomenon, as far as you know?
Looks like it's been maybe going on for about a year. The earliest thing I found on the internet was from the Huffington Post in Pittsburgh. But yeah, it's been pretty recent.
And it's and part of this whole phenomenon is the idea of videoing yourself doing it and then uploading it to YouTube in some ways as a declaration of look what I've done kind of thing?
It seems that way, yes.
It's pretty frightening. So what's the consequences of this, though?
Well, essentially, what you're doing is you're taking the heat from your skin and creating frostbite with this.
So is that exactly what it is? In other words, it's much like you would experience if you were out in the elements and you were unable to warm yourself sufficiently. You would literally get a frostbite.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's what you're really doing. You're imposing a frostbite on yourself.
It's like sticking, or another analogy would be putting your hand in a fire.
Wow.
So you're creating, you're self-injuring yourself.
So how is this different from a burn? I mean, what I've always been curious, frostbite versus burn. What's happening? The skin is being damaged. I've seen pictures of this, actually.
They're pretty, you know, compare them. We treat them differently, but they are, you know, our divisions are about the same. Okay. So there are several different degrees of frostbite, and there are several different degrees of burn. There are four degrees of frostbite and 4 degrees of burn, technically. You know, your first degree burn or your first degree frostbite only involves a very, you know, thin layer of your skin. It's like in burns, it gets red, and in frostbite, it gets white. In burns, you know, it's your sunburn. But in frostbite, it's going to be your paleness, and you're going to become a little bit insensate.
So it has to do, when you talk about the different degrees of burn,
mm-hmm.
With the skin, you're talking about the layers through which it passes, so to speak,
exactly
is involved. In other words, the 1 degree is, mm-hmm. or the first degree is just the highest layer, the mm-hmm. epidermis,
mm-hmm.
and then as you go further down into the skin, you're creating more degrees of burn.
Correct,
or frostbite
down to a 4th degree, which involves muscle and bone.
Wow. See, I'd never understood it. That's interesting. And as you mentioned earlier, that living here in central New York, probably frostbite is not that uncommon.
Correct.
But this is something that really is wild to me, that kids are engaged in this kind of behavior. What have you seen, or what do you know in terms of who is most at risk for this?
Well, you know, as I said, most of my research has come from the internet. So I see a lot of, you know, teenagers mostly on the internet who have been doing these. People,
girls, boys, what do you see?
Both.
So it's pretty equivalent. It's not. There's no gender gap here.
No, it seems to be what appears to be a rite of passage in some circles.
Do you think that there's a socioeconomic factor that plays a role here, or you think it's an equal opportunity offender?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because frostbite is not a reportable illness, so I can't do wide studies on this. So I really don't know. All I know is from what I've seen on YouTube, and it seems to be the younger folks who are doing this.
But you're seeing people coming into the emergency room that you're actually treating with these problems.
Occasionally.
So would you say the vast majority are not seeking medical attention?
Probably not.
So what happens if they don't? In other words, if you were to, you know, have that kind of injury or mm-hmm. inflict that kind of injury to your skin, and clearly if you're a kid, you might not want to share it with your parents that mm-hmm. you've done this.
Mm-hmm.
What are the risks?
Well, it depends on just how deep that the frostbite injury is. If it is something that is, you know, the first or second degree, as long as you would, you know, keep it clean, especially at the first degree, you probably wouldn't have much of a sequela or a problem with it. But if you're talking about blisters forming, which would be your second degree, or even worse yet, hemorrhagic bulla, which are these big blisters that are filled with blood, which is going to be your third degree, you're looking at a risk of surgical intervention. You're looking at a problem with possible infection, and you know, it could easily, you know, go into something that you may have to have extensive debridement, which would be removal of the skin.
Does the skin eventually heal, and does it end up scarring? I mean, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I've seen some of these YouTube videos where they're putting this on their hands. I mean, what would be the long-term consequences, if any?
Well, scarring would definitely be one, and surgery of this area, you know, your hands are very delicate. Any type of surgery that we do would limit mobility as well.
So you literally could affect the long-term use of your hands.
Especially if you do this multiple times. The first frostbite injury, you have normal vasculature and you have normal healing capabilities. If you start doing this repetitively, it'll get worse. Also, if you have any, during the rewarming process, if you have any trauma, say, you know, you do anything, you know, use your hands, you bump them in some fashion, that also will increase your likelihood for needing surgery or getting an infection.
So it affects the healing process completely and makes the whole thing a lot mm-hmm. worse.
And, you know, even, you know, if you do this, you know, once or twice, you know, after rewarming and then do it again, it's not like your skin returns to normal afterwards.
It doesn't ever.
No.
Depending on the degree?
Depending on the degree.
So what do you think is at the bottom? You mentioned rite of passage. I thought that too. But, I mean, what do you think is driving these kids to do this?
You know,
I mean, I know there's speculation on your part. I'm just curious.
I have no idea. Yeah. It's not something that I would have come up with, you know, on my own. I kind of liken this to, it's self-injuring.
I thought initially, I know there's been some incidents of cutting where some children, especially adolescents, perhaps when they're very unhappy, will mm-hmm. engage in this kind of cutting behavior. It's like self-inflicted injury. Mm-hmm. But it's usually done in a private way. Mm-hmm. Here, they're literally taping themselves and then putting it up as a challenge on the internet. Mm-hmm. So it's almost to me like living on the edge in some way, but in a very public way.
You mean like showing their machismo by doing this? This doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You know, what strikes me also, and I've just thought about this recently in seeing these videos and thinking about what's happening in some of the youth then, since it is pretty much teenagers is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. is some of the TV shows like Survivor and a lot of those other kind of emphases on how tough can you be? I mean, is it perhaps that we've made life too easy these days for people, and this is a way that they can somehow prove their manhood or their, like you said, their strength of character?
You know, I have a hard time answering that because it's beyond you. It's beyond me. Yeah.
I understand, especially as a surgeon, you're mm-hmm. involved in saving lives and in correcting problems that people have no choice about, mm-hmm. and here are people inflicting injury on themselves. It's pretty perplexing mm-hmm. and troubling. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing your perception on this. And any in the last few seconds, any advice for parents?
Well, I would. These appear to be occurring mostly on the forearms or on the backs or on the palms of the hands. If you have any concern about any type of salt being, you know, all of a sudden you're out of your Morton salt or whatnot, you may want to start asking your kids
or examine them.
Examine them. make them walk around in, you know, short sleeves or something, just to see what's going on.
Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Joan Dolinac, and she is an assistant professor of surgery specializing in trauma, critical care, and burns at Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air after this short break. Stay with us.